Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen and her semi-annual congressional testimony kicks off today. The markets will be hanging on every word for clues about the liftoff in the Fed's target rate for federal funds, which has been set at 0 to 0.25% since December of 2008, near the top of the financial crisis. Market watchers say don't expect any clues as to when patient will be dropped from the language currently offered by the Fed, and definitely don't expect Yellen to discuss the timing of the first rate hike. One topic Yellen may elaborate on is the pace of tightening. There seems to be some fairly broad support for the proposition that the multi-year outlook for the pace of rate hikes is much more important than the timing of the first rate hike. Congress today is sending President Barack Obama legislation to build the Keystone XL pipeline, and a quick veto is expected. The White House indicated President Obama will veto the bill in private. Republicans may try to override Obama's veto, but have yet to show they can muster the two-thirds majority in both chambers that would be needed. The White House has said repeatedly that it will wait to make its decision about whether to let the project go forward until after a State Department review. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 18,105, it's up 20 points. The NASDAQ, 4435, down 9. The S&P 500 is 2106, and it is down about 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Incredibly cold conditions continue to occur across portions of the Midwest, and we're going to see yet another impressive cold surge a little bit later this week. The temperatures this morning from areas near Champaign, Illinois, over into the central sections of southern Ohio, reported temperatures in the negative teens. In fact, it was as cold as minus 19 in a part of that region. Temperatures at this time of the year, or any time of the year, shouldn't be that cold across the lower parts of the Midwest. Just amazing how these cold air masses have been lately. The temperatures are actually colder in the lower Midwest in this area I just described than it was in parts of Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas this morning. Some of those areas were seeing temperatures close to freezing. So this cold air mass has come far, far to the south and has had a huge impact on the Midwest, obviously. And it looks as though we will see a little bit of a break in this now for just a short period of time, but there is another impressive cold air mass headed for the region. We're going to see temperatures this afternoon warm up into the lower 40s in portions of Nebraska and Kansas and western sections of both Missouri and Iowa. We'll see 30 degrees or better in many areas across Iowa and the rest of Missouri. The rest of the Midwest, we'll see afternoon temperatures today running mostly in the upper teens and lower 20s. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll see teens and 20s again across a big part of the region. Some 30-degree readings expected in the far south, and Kansas and parts of Missouri will again see some temperatures over 40 degrees. But it gets colder from there, and it looks like on Thursday afternoon, single digits and teens will become common across the Midwest. On Friday, probably the same thing. Mostly teens, though, will occur. We'll see a few 20-degree temperatures in the far southern portions of the region. And then as we get into the weekend, we'll start a little bit of a recovery with Saturday temperatures, 20s and a few teens, and we'll also look for 20s and 30s probably occurring in the lower parts of the Midwest on Sunday. The temperatures at night, though, will be what's so impressive. We're going to again see temperatures getting down below zero as far south as parts of Kansas and Missouri, central Illinois, and portions of central Indiana and central Ohio. This will occur on Friday. It looks like Friday will be the coldest day now, and we'll see temperatures in the negative teens and perhaps close to minus 20 again near the Canada border in the far northernmost portions of the region. These bitter cold temperatures are part of a persistent northwesterly flow pattern that has been prevailing, obviously, for a big part of the winter season. And we are going to see it ease up a little bit as we move on out deeper into March. But the flow pattern in general may be a little slow in abating completely, but we will get away from these extremely cold air masses and probably do that as early as next week. But we do have a lot of suffering yet to deal with here with this scenario playing out over this week. I don't expect to see much precipitation across the region for a little while, but as we go through the day on Wednesday, there will be a surge of snow that will come across parts of Iowa and South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and move from there east-southeastward across the lower Midwest. The accumulations are going to be very low, probably a dusting to an inch in the eastern parts of the lower Midwest. We'll look for accumulations in Iowa and some areas in Nebraska, maybe getting into the 1 to 3 inch range, but it won't hold together very well further to the east. As we go out a little bit deeper in time, the cold high pressure center will settle on top of the region as we go from Thursday into Saturday. And it's when the high pressure system starts to abate from the region that we'll run into the best potential for precipitation across the region. Another winter storm is likely to brew and move across the heart of the region. This will come in from the central plains probably sometime on Saturday and spread across the entire region as we go from Sunday into Monday of next week. There'll be quite a wintry mix of precipitation types and hazardous travel potentially across the region. We'll be monitoring that over the next few days. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Time is running out to get your tickets for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's set for March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Our analysts will discuss the day's news, a fresh WASDE report for corn, soybeans, and cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote, Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values, and Chris Hurt will take us through his livestock projections. Cost for the meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat is 535.25 up 4. May, 540 up 4. Soft March wheat, 508.5 up 2.75. May is 504.5 up 1/2. March corn, 381.25 up 2.5. July, 397.25 up 2.75. December, 413.75 up 3.25. March soybeans, 1015 up 15.75. July, 1021 up 15. November, 991.5 up 11.75. March soybean meals, $356.20 up $7. March soybean oils, $31.24 up 10 cents. February live cattle, $154.75 down $127.5. March feeders, $195.17.5, they're down $2.90. And April lean hogs are $68.40, and they're up 7.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Turnaround Tuesday.
That's what it looks like. Corn up 2 to 3. Made the high last night, and the corn beans roared up here after the 8:30 start and made a new high on the day. We were up 19, I believe, in March at 10.18¾. We're 10.14¼ now, up 15. And those new crop beans at 95¾. They're at 90¾, up 11. Wheat's still up 1/4 to 1/2.
You got some fundamental reasons why soybeans are rallying?
Usage continues to be good. Exports continue to be good. The grind continues to be good. And that's pretty much it.
I kind of think that if you dig into a little bit into the reports that came out of Virginia from the chief economist and start looking at the demand side of the equation, you can make a case that China demand was going to continue to grow.
Well, and you can make a case also from South American harvest of record yields and 2 million more acres from the USDA's number on bean planting for the other side. So you can argue either side.
So what side do you like? Well, I know what the traders are thinking right now. They like the demand side.
There are right now, today, while we're up, they are, but yesterday they were looking at the lots of it available. So if you look at last week and this week, we've been up one day, down the next.
Yeah. So what is the trading range that we're going to remain in and for how long?
I think eventually when South America really gets going by mid-March, you'll see us lower than we are now. I think the up 15, down 15 will be over by mid-March.
What's your thinking on the corn market today?
Corn market, we have not been able to get up to the $4 in the July. We're still above 4 in December. There's still unknown on what the acres really will be. Are we going to cut that many acres or not? So I think it's still I think it's more in a range than the beans.
Given what we know thus far about the average prices for crop insurance heading into the last few days of figuring out those averages, what do they imply?
Well, you're above $4 on corn, so you might not have as many people switch corn acres out to beans as maybe people thought.
Mm. Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current trade, March corn, 381 up 2 1/4. July, 397 up 2 1/2. December, 413 and a quarter, up 2 3/4. March beans, 1014 and a half, now a quarter, now a half, up 15 1/4. Remember, these are live quotes. July, 1020 and a quarter, up 14 1/4. November, 991 and a half, up 11 3/4. March soybean meal, 355.90, up 7.60. March soybean oils, 31.20, up 6. February live cattle, 155.15, down 57 1/2. And April lean hogs are 68.45, and they are up 12 1/2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.